Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Yeah, I don't know. No, anyway, I would never. We'll say that. That just makes me angry.
If Strebel and I did a debate, he's 100% Biden.
You think?
He's
100%. That was Speech Impediment Greatest Hits, and I love Strebel. I was not being mean, but like, that was a mean edit.
Yeah. He doesn't know what he said. Mean. I don't know what he just said.
Man.
Gosh.
Don't put that evil on him.
Oh, Strebel, I hope you're having fun in New York.
He's killing it.
Man, I cannot tell you all how excited I am for this interview, because me and Brady Collins go way back to 2010 when he was a strength coach at UK and I was just a wee freshman. And you talk about a dude at 6 o'clock in the morning that is getting a bunch of dudes hyped. It's like when you meet someone young in their career,
yeah,
you instantly know. It's like, this dude's going to be a rising star.
Yeah.
And from leaving Kentucky to be the assistant strength coach at Mississippi State, to then be assistant strength coach at Ohio State, then the head strength coach at Cincy to take them to a college football playoff, and now being the head strength coach at Wisconsin, who is known for being corn-fed strong as all get out. I'm so pumped to have him here. Brady, hey, welcome. Glad to have you on the sound waves in Kentucky, and hope that you're getting some decent weather there in Wisconsin.
We got great weather up here, brother. It's great to talk to you, man. Been too long, man. It's an honor to be here with you.
I appreciate it. And Brady, I want to start off with this. So you got your career started. You got your career started under a legend of strength and conditioning under Ray Rock Oliver, who's now turned into more of an administrative role at the University of Kentucky, but has a career list that is up there with the best of them. I can imagine, because your style of strength training is kind of pretty night and day to Coach Rock's to an extent, but there is still that high energy, the ability of, you know, lifting heavy and having that you need to push iron mentality. Can you kind of talk through the experience of learning under Rock and then how that's kind of shifted your philosophy moving forward?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, I would be so wrong to say I'm probably one of the most blessed strength coaches and just human beings in the world to have the privilege to learn under Coach Rock and also Dr. Ted Lambernidis, who's still a close friend and mentor to me to this day. And I got the Rock finally came and visited me a couple years ago at Cincy, and that was great to see him. But Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're young and you're so gung-ho in this profession, and, you know, I was one of those rare birds in high school. I kind of knew I wanted to be a strength coach. So you're looking up to all these people, and you get to the University of Kentucky, and you're a young intern at the time. There's a coaching change, and then in comes Rock and Ted, and they took me under their wing, and they really did. I mean, this is back in, you know, 2010 when, you know, in an SEC weight room, it was Rock, Ted, and myself. I mean, you know, so just being young, being immature, you know, making a crap load of mistakes, and, you know, Rock just always being there and, you know, setting me straight and telling me the what's and the whys, and then, you know, Dr. Ted giving me all the science behind it and all that stuff. But absolutely, you know, there's a million ways to write a workout, and I learned, you know, from one of my other mentors, you know, a monkey could write a workout. It's not what you do, it's why you do it and who you do it with, and, you know, more importantly, the relationships that you build and getting those kids to connect not only with you but each other to do things that they never thought they could do.
You were always great when you were there because you and Coach Ted were kind of the yin to Rock's yang, because Rock can rip into you, and, you know, he can get his point across pretty quickly, where you were a guy that was able to be a great rah-rah guy. I mean, you set the tone when it needed to be set, but any time that I would have Rock just lay into me, you were right there kind of picking me back up. And having that mentality, especially going back, dude, to tell you how hyped I was for this, I went back and watched your videos that you posted when you were at Cincy and the ones that you posted in Wisconsin so far, of like the squat days and all that. And to me, it's, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, you don't act like a head strength coach. You act like that same high-energy Brady from 2010. So being able to still carry that on to now being the head of an entire weight program of a Power Four conference team, how have you been able to develop that?
Yeah, I think it's like anything, it's being true to who you are. You know, and again, I know I said it, I've been blessed. I've been raised in this profession by some of the best, you know, with Coach Rock and Dr. Ted and Rick Court and Matt Bayless, Coach Mickey Marotti at Ohio State. Like, you know, I've been around some of the best in this field. And, you know, some of my staff coming from Coach Manny at Michigan State, I mean, another legend. And just, you know, as you grow and evolve and learn and adapt. But to the core, I've been who I am. And that is, it's high energy. It's not fake. You know, I'm not waving towels and trying to, you know, look like a court jester. It's just, I know I got to get these kids to, one, love the weight room. And I know that not everybody does that. I'm not naive. Like, I'm a meathead. I love the weight room. No crap. But, you know, these kids are coming in. You got all these stresses in life. You got academics. You got football. You got all these things. You know, when you come into this weight room, I want it to be your sanctuary. I want everything in that outside world to just stay out there, because this is truly the only time you get to maximize yourself. And, you know, the world will lie to you. It'll, you know, tell you what you want to hear. Well, you and I both know that 225 still weighs 225. It ain't changing. Now, in turn, those weights aren't going to fight back. So just building an environment, you know, a culture, which is a buzzword that everybody throws out there, that, you know, you're going to earn everything that you get. It's going to be extremely hard, but it's going to be so rewarding, just like it is in life. And the crazy thing, it still doesn't guarantee you anything. Just because we work hard doesn't mean it's going to guarantee that you're going to win. Mm-hmm. It's going to be even that much harder. And in turn, it's going to be that much harder in life as well. But I would just say, yeah, it's definitely just being true to who you are. You know, the kids see my natural persona. They see my love, my passion. I never call this a job. And, you know, just the experiences and all the people that I've been blessed to work with along the way. And, again, like I said, making many mistakes, many failures along the way, learning from them. And giving those kids that information as well. Like, look, I'm not perfect. Like, I'm aspiring every single day to be the best husband, the best father, the best strength coach that I can, the best man. So, you know, just getting them to realize that, hey, we're always here for you. We're going to be that kick in the butt when you need it. We're going to put that arm around you when you need it. But we're going to be consistent with how we coach, our love, our passion, and, you know, we'll never fail.
I feel like strength coaches are like these like little spiritual guides. I don't know. Like, people often say like the culture is built like with the strength coach. A lot of times are in the weight room because you're there year round. Like, that's somebody you're always in contact with. But also, I just feel like any strength coach that I've ever encountered, it's almost like they have like a higher like mentality or purpose of like enthusiasm or just like grit and getting through hard things. Like they almost see it more as like a vocation than just what they do. And I just feel like I heard that from what you just said right there. Do you feel like that is the way that you, do you feel that way about your job? That like you almost have like a higher mission, even from what you just said, almost like preaching like higher, just like not morals, but like a higher way of living about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I always say we're not weightlifting coaches. Like, I know that's what our title is, strength coaches. But, like, I mean, we're here to develop young men. And football is going to take care of itself, I promise you. With the work that we do, the amount of training and just the love that we have for you, your body, it's the easiest thing I can do to change is your body. Mm-hmm. I care more about your heart and your mind. And, you know, getting young men to come in here when, you know, they come from all different you know, religious upbringings and family, you know, however it is, that's what's so valuable and special about a locker room. Like, if only the world knew, like, how valuable a locker room is, like, the world would be a much better place because you got so many young men from all different walks of life and they're all coming together for a common good. And, but in turn with that, I also think, you know, it starts at the top because there's a lot of places in this country that, you know, what the head coach is preaching might not be what the weight room is. And I've been so blessed, you know, to build my relationship and to work with a man that I so highly admired as a man first, and yes, a coach, a husband, and a father, and Coach Luke Fickell. But it starts there, you know. I mean, you got to see eye to eye. You got to have everything planned out. You got to know the pulse of your team. You got to know what you need, what you got to get better at, all these types of things. But it is something that, no doubt, like it drives you every single day to see young men do things, not wait, because nobody cares what they squat and bench. I tell those guys all the time. Like, the NFL is never calling me and saying, what's that guy squat? Like, they care about how well they play football when you press play. So getting them to buy into all the things that come with just taking care of your body, training hard, doing things the right way, that'll take care of itself.
When Brady, you and I played against, not played, but you were coaching and I was playing at the time in 2014, 2013, and 2014, when you were at Mississippi State as an assistant strength coach. And one thing that you developed in that time, that when we would see it on TV, it was the most Brady thing I think I've ever seen, was you were the guy that was initiating the juice boys on the side, where you had all the guys that were reserve players that were injured. You had them right there on the 50 just going nuts. Going absolutely nuts each and every time. And when we all saw it, I was like, that is definitely the most Brady thing we have ever seen. Can you kind of talk about that? Because even to this day, Mississippi State still has that. And just kind of that legacy that you left of just always, no matter what the score is, no matter how you're feeling during the game, of just always bringing that juice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think back then, we were in a staff meeting, and I think Coach Mullen was like, all right, who's going to be the hype guy? And, like, everybody just, like, looked at me, and I was like,
yeah!
Like, you know, I mean, I'm not a me guy. You know, I never want anything to be about myself. It's always the boys, the program, my staff, all that stuff. But, you know, when you're young and you're, you know, you're growing in the profession and the head coach looks at you and everybody kind of, you're like, yep, I got it. And so, you know, you took it with the biggest pride in the world. You know, I get it. Like, sometimes it's not the best to get everybody to jump around if you're down by a little bit, or, you know, if the game's kind of boring or whatnot. But, you know, thankfully we were in some pretty good games, especially in 2014. But, you know, again, it's just all just pure passion, just doing whatever, you know, the head coach wanted me to do at that time to get the guys engaged that weren't out there. But understanding that the guys that were out there, you know, they could feed off that in a way. You know, they see the boys that they've worked with all off season, you know, going crazy for them. That might give them that little bit of extra, you know, effort on this one play or something like that. And, you know, just getting everybody to feel like they're a part of it.
You, that same two seasons while you were there, you were there till, I believe, 2015, the year I graduated. But I remember playing against the defenses of that Mississippi State team, and I could not get over the physicality of those guys. And then it was like a hard nose style weight room type of training. That was also when like high performance was just getting started with the catapult systems and the GPS systems, heart rate systems. That's kind of when it was all kind of taken to the lead, but it was like a old school mentality with that Mississippi State team. And I would argue behind Bama and what Scott Cochran was doing at Alabama while I was there, that Mississippi State team was one of the most physical teams I've ever played against when it came to just strength and size. What was the mentality? What was the strength program like there, especially that 2014 team when they were number one and then finished with a top 10 in the country?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, number one, it starts with players. I mean, it really does. We were very fortunate. You know, my year there in 14, you had unbelievable leadership. You know, Dak Prescott, Benardrick McKinney, you know, you could just keep going down the line. I mean, you know, Preston Smith, who's still playing in the league. And, you know, just Chris Jones, a young Chris Jones, who's still dominating, you know, for the Chiefs and won multiple Super Bowls. But, you know, those guys set the standard every single day. But it is also, it's exactly what you said. It's a blue-collar mentality. It's, you know, exactly what we do here, right? And it's our training has to be our edge. Because at some point, talent can win you a couple games. And who knows, that team on paper might have more talent than you. But when it really comes down to it, you can knock that talent out the window because it's you versus you. It's your 11 versus their 11, that team versus that team. And then you got to go through hard things in the offseason. You got to push heavy things. You got to, you know, push your mind and your body to limits that you never thought they would be and then overcome that and then keep going. And that's, you know, that's where greatness happens. That's when championships happen. And, you know, it's really fun to see that when I was a young assistant being developed and then instilled. And then, you know, you go to another school and it's kind of already humming, and then you know, see it grow even more. And then to go to Cincinnati and, you know, really rebuild it and build that thing up and now come here and do the exact same thing. And, you know, but again, it's what you tip your hat on. It's your edge. And, you know, I'm very fortunate with our head coach that's exactly how we are.
I'm glad you brought up Cincy, because the job that you and Coach Fickell did there, it was astounding. Was absolutely astounding. And it wasn't like Cincy was getting lucky in games either. It was a well-coached team, but you could tell that the talent that was there was extremely talented. They were extremely strong. And even in against the game of Alabama, that was still just peak Nick Saban murder ball. And it was still, I mean, it was still a great, great ball club. How was that opportunity, especially you go as an assistant at Mississippi State, you go as an assistant to Ohio State. Now Luke goes over to Cincy. You're now getting Dawn to be a head strength coach. The first time in your career being a head strength coach, what was it that was going in your mind when you got that offer? And then what were you doing to really make yourself stand out once you got there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first thing, it was just, you know, complete, you know, I mean, joy, right? I mean, you know, all this hard work that you've done and, you know, really kind of fast, too, in my eyes. Like, you know, when I got to Ohio State, I was from Columbus, Ohio. My wife's family's from Columbus, Ohio. That's where we had our first kid. And we're like, hey, you know, all right, you know, we could be here for a little bit. And, but again, just so blessed and fortunate to build that relationship with Coach Fickell that when he did get this opportunity, he entrusted me to go with him. And, you know, we got there and yeah, our first year, yeah, we had to go through some pains and all that stuff, but, you know, obviously recruiting and, you know, people. And, you know, blessed to work with a man that, you know, hired the right people, recruited amazing kids, and we developed the absolute crap out of them. I mean, we did. And we had a mentality there that we didn't care if we had the shiniest stuff or the prettiest, newest this and that. Like, we're going to outwork you. We're going to out-tough you. We're going to out-physical you. And we didn't care how it was done. It was going to happen. And, you know, but again, it's just kind of just so blessed that it happened the way it did so fast. But also, you know, again, what I kind of said earlier, just staying true to who you were, because, you know, going to Cincy, that's a different type of place, and you might get some different type of kids in there every now and then that you might not get at certain other schools for academic standings or whatnot. And, you know, we built that thing up to where we didn't care who was recruiting you or whatnot. Like, we were going for the best of the best, the guys that fit what we wanted. And, you know, that's, again, what makes things so special at a lot of programs. It's, you're not just recruiting stars or talent. You're recruiting young men. You're recruiting families to build up, to develop. And then, you know, that's what we did. I mean, we would take guys that we knew they probably weren't going to be, you know, big time players for 2 years, maybe three, but, you know, they put their head down, they grinded, and good things happened. And, you know, all those kids that that went through that program. We're there. I'm so thankful, and you know, we'll forever be honored to have worked with them. And you know, now that's what we're doing here at Wisconsin.
So, I got to talk about something. And so, if you go to Brady's Twitter, which it's at BC Strength, and you don't have to dig deep because this happened 4 days ago. Coach, can you tell the listeners about Badgers Squat Fest?
Yeah. So it started a couple years ago, you know, at the previous stop. And it was just, you know, everybody I've ever worked for, you kind of had, you know, a theme lift or something throughout the year that was just kind of like your baby. And again, just, you know, always being creative, always being high energy and passionate. I wanted something different for myself. And it started 1 year. It was like, all right, you know, this is going to be your heavy squat day. And I was like, let's do something different. Like, let's make the weight room just different for the guys. Like, so it started basically with just like caution tape and like maybe a disco ball. And then just every year it evolved and evolved and evolved. And then we come here and it's like, you know, through the roof. And I always say every year it gets bigger and better. And that's not because of the production. It's not because of the more lights or DJ or whatnot. It's because the kids understand the mentality. They understand what we're doing. And it's not about the weight. Like I tell them, again, like I've already said, nobody cares if I squat 500 or if you squat 230. Like, it's all about hyping up the boys, doing hard things together. Because the rest of the workout is crazy. Everybody thinks it's just squatting. Oh, no, there's a lot of more fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's in a way, it's trying to replicate like game day. Like, you're so anxious, you're so excited, you're so, you know, you're jacked up to get in there with the boys, and then you're doing hard things. And then, you know, at some point during that exercise, a station or whatever it may be, you're going to want to like tap out or give in. But you look to your left, you look to your right, you see everybody going as hard as they can, not for themselves, but for each other. So when you go through hard things together and you fight through adversity, like, you know, that's ultimately what's going to win on the field, but also in life. So, you know, just very blessed to have an unbelievable staff that every year we just keep anteing it up and it gets bigger and better. But it 100% has to do with the kids in the locker room because, you know, their mentality, their passion that they bring to withhold the standard, to set it, to not let a brother down. That's what makes it unique.
So for the listeners, can you walk through what entails Squat Fest? And not having to get into sets and reps and all that, but what's kind of the layout of the day when it comes to a workout?
I mean, I don't want to give away all my bells and whistles, but I will say, you know, you're going to come in, there's, you know, a crazy warm-up. There's so much competitive stuff going on that, you know, feels like a sauna in here. You get to the racks with, you know, all your boys, you're squatting, you know, maybe you're hitting singles, maybe the freshmen are hitting triples, whatever it may be, could be velocity-based, all good, we're getting rowdy with it. And then you're going to split up, and there's going to be five stations. Those stations are pretty much total body. There's an upper body area, a lower body area, arms, and then we're going to come together, we're going to do some type of hard finisher because that's what you got to do, and the music is cranked the entire time. The intensity's through the roof, the lights are crazy, you might have a seizure or two, but it's definitely a vibe.
I love that.
So there was one time, I forgot when this was. This was probably 2 years ago, I think. 2 years ago, when I get up early to go work out, and my workouts are nowhere compared to what Badger Squat Fest is, in no way, shape, or form anymore. I'm a shell of myself, Brady, and I apologize for that. And so I get up and I'm on the elliptical at 5:30 in the morning, and I start scrolling Twitter, as you could tell how hard I was working out. And I see a video that pops up of two players that are wrestling each other, what looks like a gladiator event to the death, over a rope. And like a small piece of rope, and like guys like doing like RKOs on other guys to get them to let go of this rope. And I'm like, what is this? Like, who's doing this right now?
Then
I look and see the retweet, Brady Collins. And I was like, this is awesome.
It all came together. It makes sense.
Exactly. I love this type of stuff. And It's so needed in a locker room, and especially you talk about the guys that, you know, it doesn't matter if you squat 500 or squat 230. I was one of those guys that was not putting up the big numbers, but it was, those events were so special to have because it gave you, one, a chance to compete, two, it felt like you were playing against yourself, or you were lifting against yourself. But then three, you got to do stuff like this to where you can be the underdog and win those victories against the guys that are squatting 500 and all that. But it's so awesome to see. I know, Brady, that you're in the middle of summer strength conditioning right now. It is so awesome, dude, to see the success that you've had in your career and what I know you're going to do at Wisconsin as well, that you were very evident to be able to see it last year. And, man, I'm praying for you all, and I know you all are going to kill it this year.
I appreciate you, man. It's an honor to be on here, and hopefully next time we talk, we could do it in person, man. Been too long.
Absolutely. You have converted me. You've converted me to a Cincy fan, and now a Wisconsin fan.
I have one more quick question for him before we let him go. I just want to know who or what has inspired your philosophy to approach, you know, how you do what you do.
Yeah, you know, again, I kind of mentioned it earlier. It's definitely, you know, everybody that I've worked for. I mean, it really is. And, you know, being young, even when I was a young GA at Kentucky and then an assistant, like, you know, Rock, he set me straight. I mean, I owe so much to him, but Ted really challenged me to learn, you know, the whys and, you know, the science behind it and the relationships, and, you know, would feed me, and he still does to this day, so much information, whether it's research articles or, you know, the legends of the field from, you know, just so many great people, you know, that have been before us. And then, you know, just working with great coaches, working with great position coaches, working with great young men, players that maybe they were the best, maybe they weren't. And then, you know I said it earlier, but just staying true to who I am. Like, you know, who I am is what I want, you know, our program to be, but also understanding that I have an unbelievable staff and that I want them to have their input as well. So they make me better. They challenge me to grow, to evolve. And, you know, understanding that, you know, strength training isn't rocket science. It really isn't. I love how a lot of people out there think they can reinvent the wheel and they think this is the greatest thing. Like, everybody's benching, everybody's squatting, everybody's running. That's all great. It's not what you do, it's why you do it and who you do it with. And it's the intent, the purpose, and the passion that you do it. So, you know, I think that's what, you know, selfishly separates us from a lot of people in this country. But 100% on, it's just everybody that I've ever worked for, and so blessed to be in this position.
That is so awesome. Hey, next time you see him, please tell Coach Ted I said hey. I haven't seen him in forever.
Oh, he's still up there in Cincy getting after it. And you know what's funny, Max, is before I jumped on here, I went to my old history logs here, and I still have all your numbers if you want your listeners.
Oh, read them off!
Wow. No, not those numbers.
Come on, roast him. Read them off. Come on.
Every now and then I'll talk to Jared and I'll let him know that, hey, I remember your numbers when you were skinny little freshman.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Is Jared still down in Florida?
No, he's in Carolinas.
Really?
Yeah.
He moved to Charlotte, didn't he?
Yeah.
I just now remembered that. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
We're doing great, man.
Where's time going, man? Where's time going?
It's too fast, dude. It's too fast.
It really is.
Don't get old, everybody. Don't get old.
Brady, man, thank you so much for coming on here, man. This was... It lived up to the hype, and I appreciate it, man. And, hey, best of luck this season.
I appreciate you guys. Hey, honor to be on, and you guys have a great rest of your show, great week, happy 4th. America's the best. Let's rock and roll.
Let's rock and roll. Brady Collins, everyone. Gosh.
Man, that was awesome. That delivered. You said it. Yeah, and I'm telling you, strength coaches just have this, like, ethereal sense of, like, purpose. Like, I don't know. They just have they just drop these, like, little lines of, like, wisdom, or, like, these little, like, universal truths of, like, I don't know. It's got to be painful to, like, to get better. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And that's why I was so curious about how he developed that.
He talked about Rock was at a completely different level of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes good, sometimes bad.
Yeah.
But if you were a guy that busted your butt, he was in your corner like no other.
Yeah.
No other. I will, to this day, when Rock knows that you care, mm-hmm, and you give full effort no matter what your squat numbers or your bench numbers are, he's in your corner forever.
You get his respect.
To this day, every single time I see him, that dude hugs me the exact same way. He comes up and he wraps around my lower back and he pats me on the chest like I'm this statue.
Yeah.
And he goes, Maxie boy. Maxie boy, I don't think I've ever heard him call me Max. It's always been Maxie boy.
I love that. You gotta love a good nickname too. But yeah. I really do think like that is such a unique role, and people say that. I mean, like that's you're around the strength coach more than anybody else because it's all season long,
yes.
Summertime, everything, and like your culture definitely starts there. And I just think it takes a very unique, special kind of person to excel in that role. Like they're not just like your normal run of the mill people. They walk in a room and you know it
exactly.
Like, it's just special. There's something else.
Corey Edmond, who's the current strength coach at Kentucky now, he's been there since Stoops first got there.
Oh, wow.
And he is as intense as they come. But my goodness, you talk about a guy that loves his guys.
Yeah.
And he's such an awesome, great husband, great father, man
love
of
that.
God. I mean, he is awesome. But he was so much more. His coaching style was so different than Brady's because mm-hmm. he's cerebral.
Really?
He treats this so cerebral.
Like the science.
Exactly. It's all about the science of
wow.
it. And the guy is just absolutely awesome. But I know we need to take a break. When we get back, we'll wrap everything up. You're listening to the Roundtable Round Daddy on ESPN 680.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
I knew what he wouldn't play zone, or I thought he tricked me.
Welcome back to the round table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
He tricked me.
Tricked me. Did it again.
That will never get old.
Got me again.
It will. That will never get old.
I just still can barely comment. That's crazy.
There will be Louisville radio for 80 years from now. And they will still play
like,
that.
Maybe that's the whole point of coaching is trying to trick the other team. You're
silly kids. Silly kids. Tricks are for KP.
Bro, that's an. What do you think your job is? It is to defend the tricks. It's to, you know what I mean?
So
outthink them.
Yeah. So with all the like Brady's getting the team ready, Wisconsin ready for the fall. Walt Wells is taking a vacation before he starts the fall break. For the rest of us, we're stuck in this limbo right now.
It's true.
This limbo of no football.
July.
No baseball. Nothing. Nothing.
It's the dog days.
Nothing. And but there's a part of me where I get hope because I get the reruns. The reruns start to begin. Like SEC takeovers today with mm-hmm. Kentucky. They were showing the Governor's Cup again today. And my guess is they probably played the Florida game where sweet baby Ray was born at that point. And it is I love rewatching these games. Not just UK games. Like the Ole Miss Penn State game for the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
Was Sugar Bowl or Cotton Bowl, one of the two, was on. Missouri and Ohio State, rewatched that one.
Mm-hmm.
There's just been Alabama versus Georgia in the SEC Championship. All these games have been going on. And my DVR is loaded.
Stacked. I love that.
Now, however, so when I worked out yesterday, I was going to set the DVR and watch a game while I was on Hulu. And I go to the first thing that's up, and I'm expecting one of the games to pop up. It's a Christmas movie.
Uh-oh.
I was like, that's weird. Why is there a Christmas movie on here? I go to the next row down, Christmas movie.
It's my girl.
Christmas movie, Christmas movie, Christmas movie, Christmas movie, Christmas movie. It's like seven Christmas movies I even get to the first game.
Were you thinking it like glitch? You're like, did this glitch out? Like, what's
I didn't know that was happening. But this is called the long con, is what this is. Where Ash has begged me, because we didn't have cable or live stream
really?
Like forever.
You were like doing the true homesteading fashion.
I was like, because we didn't watch TV, but it turned into.
You were like gathering around the radio for a fireside chat every night.
Welcome to the UK Gamers Louisville.
Literally, you're doing your own entertainment, your own skits.
Hey, old Curly, he runs a 6'40", fastest man alive, they say. They had.
Hey, Ash is like churning butter. Listening to FDR on the radio.
They had, she wanted to watch these Hallmark movies.
That's
we had no way to watch them. So I finally caved in and got Hulu TV. I was like, well, I want to watch football also and not keep going to watch it like Double Dogs or over at my parents. So okay, this makes sense. And so it was nothing abnormal to have these movies already, like she would record them beforehand.
Yeah.
She, though, went ahead and set a series recording. Anytime these movies come on, the DVR records it. It's turning to.
So that's like anything. Did she set this like at Christmas time when they were first on?
I don't know when she set it.
Okay.
My guess is during Christmas.
Yeah.
That's what makes sense. I was obviously distracted. There was some football game that was going on that I wasn't able to pay attention.
That's how we get you, though.
And so I looked through this DVR. It's now knocking games out of rotation.
Did that stress you out?
Oh, I was furious.
Like, have you lost some?
I was. Oh, yeah.
I
lost two.
Space.
I lost two.
Was it important?
No, they weren't important. Well, first of all, they're all important.
Exactly.
Every football game is important to watch.
Absolutely.
We had to stop everything. We had to stop everything to watch Montana State play South Dakota State in the semifinals of the FCS championship.
I respect it. It's like church.
And my wife was so mad.
Really?
She was like,
because she's not a sports gal.
No, she's not. She is not.
She's told me that before.
The only sport that she likes is soccer when we go watch Lou City. And that is more because of the ambiance of it.
But she
understands. She actually understands soccer really well. But all that to say, I'm now having to fight this Hallmark stuff.
You fighting Hallmark.
I get it. To each their own. If you are a person that loves Hallmark movies during Christmas.
I'm raising my hand. Me and my mom.
I will watch them with Ash.
Watch them.
So not to throw dirty laundry out in front of everyone, but I'm willing to sit down and watch some Christmas movies.
Good for you.
Ash draws the line at the UK game. After the UK game, I'm not watching anymore. But I'll sit down and watch two, three.
But you'll cross that line.
I'll watch the new one that comes on every Friday night. I won't watch the Saturday night one, but I'll watch the one on Sunday night.
Now, do you sit there and make fun of them, though? Or like, are you like are an invested viewer? Like, you probably have a comment here and there. It's hard not to. It's not going to say I'm perfect. It's hard not to, but that's the beauty of them. It's cheesy. It's like a Disney movie for adults.
It's so cheesy.
But it makes it like,
it's the same script, though.
Every time.
It's the same script.
Every time. And there's so many, like they just now have been able to show them, like, drinking alcohol. It used to just be, like, hot cocoa. Like, I think they just started being allowed to kiss.
I don't condone violence. But every single time they would say cocoa on Hallmark, I wanted to punch them right in the face.
Your fist was balling up. You're like,
oh, my gosh. The way that they said it. And there's certain words that people say.
It's like a trigger.
It is. It's a trigger where I'm just like some people, how they say like cookie or like pickle. I don't know. It's something.
It's a little bit of Midwest or something.
I don't know what it is, but it's like nails to a chalkboard when I hear certain people say certain words.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I can.
You just hate it.
Yes. It like when Chick-fil-A had the, pimento cheese, pickled jalapeno chicken sandwich.
Bro.
And they had a commercial where this guy would say that each and every time. Oof. And It was torture. It felt like a water torture. Like I was being waterboarded.
I feel like it's the vowels. You get hung up on that, like how the vowels are pronounced, maybe, or something.
Or how hard they hit the consonants.
How did he say it? Like what was it that was?
It was pimento. Pimento cheese, pickled jalapeno.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like he'd be like whippoorwill, a whippoorwill, like something like that.
See, that doesn't bother me.
That doesn't bother you when you get that like whistly, like kind of H in there. That whippoorwill, like that's one that bothers
me. That doesn't bother
me. Stop it.
And Family Guy may have just made me immune to that when they made that joke.
Oh, I don't even know it.
Cool whip. Say cool. Cool. Say whip. Oh, whip. Now say cool whip.
Cool whip. God, that's funny. A whippoorwill.
But so that is the fight I'm having to have right now because I never thought I'd see the day to where. I've got to fight it in Christmas. I get that. That's a battle. That's a line drawn in the sand that I understand that I've got to embark for.
You know that's
but
coming.
I never thought I would have a kamikaze attack of just Hallmark movies at 5 o'clock in the morning while I'm trying to get a workout in.
Represent
when I'm trying to watch the Cats.
You trying to watch the
reruns,
Cats, baby?
Because I don't get enough of the Cats reruns.
You trying to watch some blocking everything? I see. When you first put it on like the list for today, you said Hallmark Christmas in July. I was like, let's go, Max. I got so excited. I was like, all right, let's bond over this. I love Hallmark movies. I did not realize it was coming from the opposite approach, but I do love Hallmarks though. Like I can agree with Ash on that. And sometimes it's nice to get a little bit of that Christmas magic going in July.
Well, no, I don't believe that at all.
He's like, boo!
Anytime Christmas gets more...
secular?
Well, no, not that, but more time before Thanksgiving does, I'm a purist.
Okay.
I will not. And this has been a stern thing in my house.
This is my household.
One of the decisions I get to make...
My rules!
It's like, we do not put anything Christmas up before Thanksgiving.
Do not put on Light 106.9. Do not do it. Not until... See,
I won't listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
I won't do it because I feel like I'm ruining it.
Thanksgiving.
It's losing meaning.
Thanksgiving gets all my respect.
That's my favorite holiday.
It's my favorite holiday.
Because it's the kickoff to all the fun stuff. Christmas, by that time you get to the actual day of Christmas, it's like a little bit depressing. It's like, all right, well, it's all over. But it used to always be Thanksgiving night. Like, that's when Christmas started.
Yeah.
That's when they start playing the music, everything.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. And I get it. Christmas is a bigger deal with Thanksgiving. I'm man enough to admit that.
Yeah.
I am.
I'm glad.
But when we're celebrating it before even Halloween.
It's like we're losing it. We're losing the plot here.
Exactly.
We're losing the meaning.
Exactly.
It's like, it needs to be just a special. It needs to be cozy outside. I do. Does she ever watch any of like the summertime Hallmarks? Because they have like all of them.
I have no idea.
See, that's what I'm into now. They'll like go to like, see, I think the Hallmark producers are the smartest people on this planet. They have the system figured out. Because they can pitch this movie and be like, let's go to Aruba for 6 months and shoot this movie. It's like, baby, you just wanted an extended vacation. But I respect that. It's always in like Hawaii or like all these cool, great places. And I'm like, I would be pitching that to like, yeah, let's go to Italy and shoot a movie. Working on, you know, working and traveling. At the same
freaking
time.
Talks. Max!
Come on,
from,
Talks.
From tough football alignment to Hallmark movies. First the fanboys break up and now this.
Listen. But I feel like you took a strong stance, though.
I did, and then my DVR got ambushed by it. Now I look like the fool. I look like a fool.
You got played.
I got played.
I'm here for Ashley's rights.
Yeah.
I'm at Ash's rights.
And then he also goes, so with you on the Chick-fil-A commercial. That dude talking irritated me so bad I wanted to fight.
Why don't I remember it? I'm going to have to look it up.
Look it up. It was so bad because it was on Hulu. So during every football game, because you know how Hulu will play the exact same commercial every single time.
And it like sabotages you. It's like all of a sudden your show will just stop and it'll play an ad. Like you don't know when it's coming.
It's Clockwork Orange at that point. You're stuck there in a trance watching the same commercials each and every time.
You're being zapped by the commercial.
Exactly.
You don't know when it's coming.
It's not even just zapped by it. It's you're having to watch it. Every single time. You got to watch the same Nissan go for 3.5 hours. You got to watch Peyton Manning go nationwide.
Side
15,000 times in a game. And then the pimento, pickle, jalapeno, honey chicken sandwich. I was like, oh my gosh, I could not.
It's too many peas, like too many like consonants. You're right. It's like pimento, pickle, jalapeno. It's like give it a rest, dude. Let's do an easier name. Come up with like some
pimento
other...
chicken sandwich.
How about that?
It's a great sandwich.
Boom.
That's the thing. It's a great sandwich.
Easier. Don't ruin it with the name.
And Anna, don't encourage it. My wife does the same. It's Christmas in July.
I'll encourage it all day long.
Christmas starts after Thanksgiving. Max is right.
Yes, but sometimes you just want to feel a little bit of that magic, of that coziness. You know what I mean?
Like, I'd rather feel 60 degrees and, you know, watch football. I don't care about Hallmark
movies.
I'm
with you on that as well, but sometimes it's just nice to escape to a little snow globe of Hallmark where everything's perfect and nothing bad ever happens.
So... also someone put, not tricks, illusions.
Oh my God, wait, what's that from? It's from a show. What is it?
Oh gosh.
What is it?
KP thought they were illusions. He didn't get tricked, he got eluded.
Oh gosh, what?
There is a show that we're yes. not tricks, it's illusions. What is it?
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development, that's yes. what it
they're
is.
They're not tricks, they're illusions. Job. Yes. Oh my gosh, such a great show.
God, I love it.
No touching.
Great. Gene Parmesan, R.I.P.
Oh my gosh.
That's one of those shows where every day I'll just randomly think of a quote that I haven't thought of in years.
And it gets like stuck in your brain.
That yes. show. Was so
good.
The first three seasons.
Yes.
We don't talk about the next.
We don't. But what was so great about that show was there would be a joke that was set up in episode two of season one,
and they called back to it.
Yeah, and it would not be paid off until like season three.
How do they do that? Like, have you ever watched Community?
It's smart, right? Yes.
Community is like that too.
Yes,
and they'll keep doing these callbacks, and I'm like, how? You can't plan that. Like, that's just like the things I'm most interested in this world is like what it's like to be in a writer's room like that, like on SNL or like any type of like comedy. I bet they have the most fun at their job than anybody else because all it is you just sit there and laugh. I'm sure it's hard. It's stressful, but like, imagine how fun that is.
I feel like a lot of people that are writers, though, are like insufferable to be around.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm not saying that Steve Martin's insufferable, but I've always heard like Steve Martin does not laugh.
Yes.
Like when you're trying to tell him a joke or like you're trying to like audition in front of him,
uh-huh.
he won't laugh.
He won't crack it.
Makes sense.
Man, that would be so hard to be like a comedian. That like I heard Will Ferrell's like similar to that. And like if you see him in public, people will run up to him and be like, all right, like do the thing. Like be the guy. Like make me laugh. All of a sudden he's just like, dude, like I'm just a regular guy. Like I'm not just performing all the time. I think that would be hard. Like almost like you're a jester a little bit, a little court jester.
Or if everybody just looks at you like as an athlete or something, they don't think, oh, this person actually does something other than
right.
catch football.
But it's not like you're expecting like Jason Tatum to come like dunk on you in the middle of like a Macy's or something. Like, you see Will Ferrell, you're like, tell me a joke, make me laugh.
Be funny. You're always supposed to be funny.
Do the thing.
Texter, a buddy of mine has YouTube TV. Him and his wife have separate profiles under their account, which I believe has separate DVR space.
That's smart. That's called a marriage tactic.
Let her run her DVR space into the ground.
I'm telling you.
It's just eating itself.
It's just candy canes and love.
That's how you stay married, people.
I think that's very smart, though. That way nothing's getting deleted. You can have your own thing. You're not going to be confused by it. I like that. That's a good call.
That's
are you a marriage
your
counselor?
Your algorithms aren't all messed up.
Yeah,
like when
that's
you go
true.
Onto YouTube and watch one thing, now all of a sudden they think, you're interested in this. No, I'm not.
Why is it bringing up offensive line tactics and techniques?
That's all my YouTube.
I just wanted Silent Night.
That's all my YouTube shorts are.
Really?
Is offensive line play, pickleball. And Star Wars.
Heck yeah.
That's literally the only
I need to get into the Star Wars. Is Ashley, is she into the Star Wars?
She isn't. She's trying
to
just understand it, because I think one, since she's a boy mom, she knows that this is in her future.
That day is coming.
But also she loves like just how in the prequels of how there's higher powers that are pulling the strings behind, like especially for the Clone Wars and how it wound up just being a proxy war. I mean, there's some very telling things,
bro.
Once she put two and two together on that, she was like, okay, I love it.
She saw it on like a different plane. So like, is the symbolism like deep in Star Wars? I've never seen it. I don't know about it.
At the end of the day, it's a movie for 12-year-olds. Like
is that the audience?
It's meant to be. It's meant to be a hero story.
Yeah.
For kids to be able to have hope. Because at the end of every Star Wars movie, good or bad, it's about hope. At the very end of it, it's about hope.
It's like the gospel.
But if you've got some of these,
say it.
Some of these stuff that Disney's put out.
Okay.
So bad. It's just so poorly done.
Okay, it's like the messaging about it.
Not the message. First of all, content sucks.
Yeah.
For one,
they don't have a plan.
Thank you.
The crux
because
of it.
Episode 7, episode 8, and episode 9. They have openly admitted they didn't have a plan.
Of
they
Star
were just trying.
Yes. It's like a series.
Yeah, so oh, Anna, I've got.
I know.
So much
I just
to
opened a can of worms
so,
here.
4, 5, and 6, 1, 2, 3 were created by George Lucas. He is
right.
he is the creator of Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
He created the canon of Star Wars. So
it's
whatever
the universe from his mind,
exactly. So whatever he has said, that is canon.
Yeah.
And
yes.
so you get the likes of me. I am extreme. It's if George Lucas says that this is the reason that so and so has a purple lightsaber. That's why.
Well, it's true.
That's
though.
Why.
This is the
it's
way.
It's from his own.
Exactly.
It's from his own land he created.
Exactly. But when he sold Star Wars to Disney, he sold Star Wars to Disney, and Disney was just trying to do a cash grab with it.
Of course.
And none of it made sense. None of it.
Do you think they consulted him like on any of that?
Well, no. That was in Bob Iger's autobiography.
Ooh.
Because George Lucas had the scripts for episodes 7, 8, and 9. And if you're a Star Wars fan and you have not heard about 7, 8, and 9, how that sequel trilogy was supposed to go, go read it. You can see YouTube videos on it. It was going to be unreal.
Yeah.
It was going to be great. It was going to be
Morris
so
every
great.
Day.
And they took them and threw them in the garbage.
Why
and did
would
not
you
use
just,
one not use one aspect.
They
like,
wanted the Disney
Disneyfied
or whatever.
That's what would be so hard. It's like a universe that somebody else created. Like, how could you even know how to drive? It's characters that someone else created. How do you know their intentions or what they are?
Exactly.
They
that's
had the answers to the test,
writers.
And they decided, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't need to get 100%.
So here, real quickly, and then we've got to get out of here, is Max, speaking of Star Wars, The Acolyte, your opinion. I hate The Acolyte.
Yeah?
I hate it. Because of one fatal thing that it continues to do.
Mm.
One, it's now said that there's these twins that were the Immaculate Conception that were created by the Force and that are a dyad in the Force. Which, first of all, the only Immaculate Conception in Star Wars was Anakin Skywalker.
Mm.
So you now belittle the prophecy of the Chosen One for Anakin because of this. So that was a huge strike. Two, these witches are stupid. I mean, it's really stupid because their whole, their entire
witch. Witches be stupid.
because their entire village is made of stone, and the stone caught on fire and burned to the ground.
That sounds like Cleveland. Yeah, Didn't your water catch on fire?
Yeah, so that element was dumb. The idea that the Sith have returned. When it was very...
Are the Sith evil?
Yes, the Sith are evil.
Okay.
And the Sith had returned, and that the Sith were there before Episode 1, because Episode 1 makes a marker where where you have one of the Jedi, because they're like, I think the Sith have returned. And he goes, impossible. The Sith have been extinct for a millennia. And this show takes place 100 years before Episode 1, and they're like... Yeah, these are some dark side users that use the same weapons as the Sith, and they're trained in the Jedi arts like the Sith. And it's just like, bro, like
the illusions.
Because the whole point of the prequels is that the Sith caught the Jedi so flat-footed because the Jedi were like they hadn't been battle tested for 1,000 years. That was the whole thing. It's so easy. And then they finally reveal this Sith, and the lightsaber battle was pretty cool. But this dude just straight up just tells one of the Jedi, so you may call me a Sith. It's like, you just broke the canon. Why would you do this?
You're like setting it up too easy. Like it's supposed to be like you're breaking the like what made it a big deal.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It was basically at that point. It's like, okay, everyone has to die. Everyone that just heard him say that this person's
Sith,
they all have to die in order for the canon to make any sense. It's just like, I don't. Understand.
And how could
it's
you not know
hard.
That?
It is not hard. It's not hard to make Star Wars. It's not. It's like making a peanut butter jelly sandwich. It's easy, and Disney figures out a way to screw it up.
Just
We've had a great show, and this made me mad. Tox, why'd you send that question
Tox,
in?
Tox, why?
Dang it! We'll be back tomorrow. Anna and myself, you've been listening to the Roundtable with Round Daddy on ESPN 680.